Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. First and foremost, sorry for missing yesterday. If you can't tell, I'm a little under the weather. I'm going to do my best to make it through this Tuesday show, but the voice has been giving out on me, so I hate to miss. There's so much going on, even for the smack dab middle of the summer, so please bear with me on my voice today. We are going to try to make it through the hour and go from there, but got some great guests. Didn't want to miss today, so glad to be back with you, and hope, to be quite honest, hope I can make it through the hour, so bear with me today if you don't mind. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany joining us today. Again, a great show. Tuesdays, we always have the opportunity to hear from Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Of course, with Greg Doyle, sports columnist, you'd never know what you're going to get with Greg. He was at the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Game on Saturday night at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. He had a great piece on Romeo. He has had so many great pieces on Romeo, both on and off the floor Romeo pieces, and he had another great one to kind of sum up and wrap up his high school career, which happened, oh, maybe in the 9 o'clock hour, 9:30 or so on Saturday night at Bankers Life. So Greg will join us to talk some All-Star basketball. Indiana bounces back after just an ugly performance on Friday. No teamwork, not playing together. They were able to completely change things in the Saturday game against Kentucky, as were the girls. It was a good day for Indiana, a good night for Indiana at Bankers Life, as you would expect it to be for the Indiana side of the series on Saturday. But more about the All-Star series. I hate to see Indiana lose ever. As a native Hoosier, I hate to see Indiana lose when Jim Shannon, the head coach, and we've got local players, Romeo Langford, who we brag and brag on and have talked so much about on this program, Sean East as well, and have a good IU contingent on the team. But for someone that appreciates the series and likes old school basketball, not that I think the All-Star game necessarily is old school, but maybe some of its better years have gone by, I do think it's good to see Kentucky be competitive. I think it's good to hear that Kentucky's junior team for next season should be really good when they become seniors a year from now. I think it's good to see Kentucky get some wins and give some diversity to the series. So all good points. You hate to see Romeo and Indiana lose, but for the series moving forward, and there have been some sketchy years. There really have been some sketchy times with that series as far as will it continue. I think they've got some good leadership. I think they've got a good plan in place now, and it's my hope that Kentucky can use some of the momentum maybe they picked up this past weekend to make sure that that series is around for kids that maybe don't even know about it yet in third and fourth grade and just beginning their basketball careers, and who knows what will happen, but I hope that it's there in another 10 or 15 years for them to participate in, and that the series records have went along and become even a more traditional event than even what it is today. So we'll talk with Greg about some of that and more when he joins us. And our chat with Greg each week is presented by Coffee Crossing in New Albany. Also joining us later today, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. He will be with us to catch up on some recruiting things. Trace Jackson Davis, he's playing right now, not right this moment, but here over the last couple days with the USA under 18 team up in St. Catharines, Canada. We'll talk with him some about that. Keon Brooks announced his top 10 over the weekend. Obviously, Indiana's right in that place as well, a good place with him, I should say, in his top 10, one of the very top logos placed on his edit that the players put out when they announced their college list, or maybe they cut down their college list. So Keon Brooks recruitment, we'll talk about that. And Adam Zagoria of ZagsBlog.com. Adam is all over the world of recruiting on a national level. He has been up at the USA games in Canada. A lot of college coaches have been there as well, including Archie Miller and Tom Ostrom yesterday. And Adam is going to join us from the World Games there in St. Catharines later in the hour to talk about Trace Jackson Davis. He had a nice piece on his recruitment the other day. He's been there to cover. I think they've played two games so far. One was a big win over the Dominican Republic, and then they led Panama like 45-0 at one point in the game, just absolutely obliterated Panama in game number two. So we'll check in with Adam. Great to have him. He's a great resource on recruiting, especially heading into the month of July coming up. He's going to check in with us again on Trace Jackson Davis and that USA under 18 team. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. If you're just tuning in, again, was out yesterday sick. If you can't tell, bear with me on the voice. I didn't want to miss another day, so I'm struggling to get through this hour, but we've got some great guests, and I didn't want to miss it. So bear with me on the voice today. Let's take a look at the headlines, the Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. I mentioned that Keon Brooks of Fort Wayne North, he cut it down to 10. He's had a ton of scholarship offers when he was a junior back during the season. He had a lot more this past spring during the and right before, during, and after the two weekends of live evaluation basketball for coaches to be out on the road. He cut it down to 10, a lot of Big Ten schools, and some outliers as well in that top, that final 10, that top 10 of Keon Brooks. He's got Indiana, of course, in there. He's got UCLA. He's got Georgetown. He's got Iowa, Purdue, Michigan, Michigan State, Texas, North Carolina, and Kentucky. So 5 of his 10 big of his 5 of his 10 top 10, and he called it a top 10, not a final 10, but 5 of his top 10 Big Ten schools, meaning the Big Ten has been all over Keon Brooks so far as he heads into a big month of July. Indiana, again, the general consensus, it's about like it is on Trace Jackson Davis. The Hoosiers and Archie Miller in a very good place with Keon Brooks as he announces his top 10 schools. Romeo Langford, this is the day that he is expected to be in Bloomington at some point today to begin his official career as an Indiana Hoosier. He had the All-Star Games Friday and Saturday, made his way back to New Albany sometime late Saturday night, had Sunday and Monday to maybe recuperate a little bit, maybe pack up a little bit, tie up some loose ends in New Albany before making his way to Bloomington for workouts, for summer school, for open gym type scenarios with the Indiana team. But as you would expect in full Romeo style, before he left town, he got up yesterday morning and made his way down to New Albany High School to the boys basketball camp put on by Jim Shannon, and spoke with the younger campers there yesterday about his experience as a Bulldog playing at New Albany. So again, just as you would expect from Romeo, even though he's probably got a million other things he needs to do, just simply resting would probably be great. He does take the extra step to do that. So we talk so much about Romeo on the court. Let's hope that those opportunities continue at the college level, as we think that they will. But it's hard to not continue to recognize some of the great things that he has done in New Albany and elsewhere in Southern Indiana off the court as well. Just a very special guy that has used his talent, used his God-given abilities, used his name that has been blown up, I don't know any other way to say it, over the last 4 years or so, to do some really good things for his community and beyond. And it's hard not to recognize those when you hear it as well. I mentioned the USA under 18 team. They played Panama yesterday, again, led 45-0 at one point in the game. I think it was 45-0 before Panama scored and made it 45-2. A lot of coaches there Archie Miller was there, along with assistant coach Tom Ostrom, other head coaches, some Big Ten guys there, as you would expect. It's in, not too far out of Big Ten country. John Beilein from Michigan was there. Matt Painter of Purdue was there. John Calipari there as well, all getting a look at Trace Jackson Davis and the roster. It's a 12-man roster representing the USA, and it's actually the official name of the tournament. It's the FIBA Americas under 18 championship. So USA, I would assume, is the big favorite. This is basically a North American tournament, the tournament that Romeo and that team as under 19 played in. That was a world tournament. They had already qualified previously in that age group to go over to Egypt. This is the North American tournament, essentially, the FIBA Americas division or grouping, and the winner of this will have the opportunity to move on to the World Championship, which I think may be next year. I'm not even sure about that. But Trace Jackson Davis obviously getting an opportunity to play a big role on the team. And son of former NBA power forward Dale Davis, Indiana continues to be in a good spot for him as well. He's got a ton of basketball scheduled next month, highlighted in the month of June by the Peach Jam, the EYBL Finals at the Peach Jam with the Indy Heat team that he plays with, along with Keon Brooks. And again, some of the coaches, even though it's just Canada, it's not like they're making a special trip across the world like you'll see some coaches do to go watch the games like when Romeo was over in Egypt. But just going up there to let him know that even though it's an opportunity when the coaches have plenty of other things to do with their players arriving on campus and off-season workouts really getting in full swing and players fully getting into their strength and conditioning programs and freshmen getting on campus as well, that he's a priority enough for them to check him out. So a number of coaches there. There were obviously a lot of players to watch on that team that are being recruited at a very high level. But Trace Jackson Davis, I think it's safe to probably call him one of the hotter prospects on the team as far as recruiting goes. So, again, Trace Jackson Davis getting a lot of love in Canada. He's off to two good starts. We'll talk more about his performances later with Adam Zagoria of Zags Blog when he joins us later in the program. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill. It's where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, it's where fun happens. And again, if you're just tuning in a few minutes late, I'm back with you today. Obviously, the voice is not at full strength. Thanks for bearing with me. Wanted to be back with you on a big day with a lot of stuff to get to. Also, a reminder, this weekend, Silver Creek is in the 3A baseball championship game. We will have the broadcast right here on the Big X. It's a 5 o'clock first pitch on Saturday. Everybody so excited about the Dragons playing for their first state championship. They won the semi-state in convincing fashion. Little weather delay, started the first inning, rejoined later in the first inning after a considerable break as the rain really and wind really came through Jasper and tore up the field. But back at it, they win 10-0. A convincing win. We didn't get to talk about that yesterday. We'll be highlighting the Dragons and some of the players throughout the week. We'll have Joe Decker with me as well. So look forward to plenty of talk about Silver Creek baseball and more. So congratulations to them. We look forward to having their state championship game here on the Big X this weekend. Bear with me, trying to get through with this voice. We've got Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, coming up next. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will also be with me. And Adam Zagoria of ZagsBlog.com checks in from St. Catharines, Canada, on Trace Jackson Davis at the FIBA's America Under 18 championships later in the program as well. It's a big Tuesday here on the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us right here on 1450 and 96.1, the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, always with us Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing. And Coffee Crossing would like to remind you to try the new breakfast and expanded lunch menus at their sister company, which is 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. Greg, I wonder if Coffee Crossing has some remedy for my voice today.
You know, warm tea is, I was going to suggest that to you. Warm tea, a little bit of their honey, although I kind of think sugar-free dark chocolate coffee is the best thing for a sore throat, and I'm pretty sure they're real good at that. So give that a shot, Matt. You'll thank me later.
I've got to text Alan, and he's a great listener, and more importantly, he's a great basketball fan as well, just sports fan of the area. But I've got to text him, since you have been going there, or stopped by, I should say, on Romeo's Decision Day,
yeah.
Sugar-free dark chocolate coffee. I've got a sugar-free dark – is that I've got it right? Sugar-free dark chocolate?
Yeah, well, the chocolate they have essentially is dark, so that's what they told me, and it tasted that way. I expect that to be changed to the Doyle special at some point.
I've got to send him a text and see if sales have jumped on that. Even people maybe that don't particularly order sugar-free, the way you promote it and the way you've enjoyed it, I think
I don't know why people wouldn't order sugar-free and chocolate. I don't get it. Like, I don't understand people. Of course, I don't understand people that drink wine. Like, some people just have taste that I don't understand taste. I don't understand people that choose to smoke. Like, there's a lot of choices we make in this world that just don't make any sense to me. Like, don't make any sense to me at all. And drinking sugared-up coffee when you can have sugar-free and you're not going to notice the difference is one of those things.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. All-star basketball, a little shocker on Friday night. I think people thought the Kentucky girls had a real chance to maybe win both games in the series. They end up winning Friday, and Indiana got a big win for the girls on Saturday. But on the boys' side, I did not see that coming. We had had both coaches on. We had had both Mr. Basketballs on. I know a lot about players on both sides, and I didn't see that coming. A little bit of a wake-up call for Indiana, maybe. They bounced back Saturday. You were at that game. I thought they played really well, got off to a great start. Romeo, a big part of that. But maybe good for the series. I want to talk to you not only about this year's game, but about the future of the series as well. And let's start with the game this year itself. Indiana had some pressure on their backs going into the game Saturday night at Bankers Life.
Yeah, it's their fault. That was a 4A school playing a 2A school. Indiana had no business losing that game in Kentucky. I mean, not any business at all. In fact, I mean, that was Golden State Warriors against the Brooklyn Nets is what that was. And every now and then, yeah, the Nets do win a game like that, but only if the Golden State Warriors don't give a crap. And that's what happened. I mean, I've talked to coaches who were at the game, high school, who saw it, and they told me what happened. And what happened is Indiana didn't give a crap. And there's not everybody. In fact, I was grilling, like, are you saying Romeo? No, they were clear, no, Romeo was Romeo. He did what he does. I mean, he wasn't great. His numbers weren't great, but he wasn't not giving a crap. In fact, the best players on the team were giving a crap, but it was everybody else. It was bad body language, being selfish. Matt, if you were there, you saw it, and I don't expect you to agree with me, but I was told what I was told. So shame on Indiana for losing that game in the first place. Listen, I'm not going to give Kentucky a whole lot of credit for that. That's when Golden State loses to the Nets, you don't credit the Nets, you blame Golden State, which brings me to the bigger picture, which is there's a reason this series is not any good. And the reason is that Kentucky's high school basketball talent's not any good, not compared to Indiana, not any of the years I've been here. Now, I know these things come in cycles, and, you know, Kentucky's just 1 year away from having, I don't even know who their last great player was in that state, but they're 1 year away from having Rajon Rondo come back or something like that. You know, that could happen. And it will happen. It will. I mean, hell, South Dakota had Mike Miller once, but that was unbelievable to watch that game. There wasn't a single player in Kentucky starting five that could start for Indiana. Not any. And there wasn't a single player in Kentucky starting five that would have been one of Indiana's top nine players. It was ridiculous. And it was a little bit atypical. I've never seen the gap quite that big, but it's big every year.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, joining us. We're starting off talking some all-star basketball. The Indiana boys get a win Saturday to equal the series at 1-1. Again, a big surprise. Kentucky was able to get one win in that game. That series came on Friday night at Bellarmine. You had a great.
And I credit that kid Marcello. I mean, he hit a bunch of threes. I mean, he was really good. And when you're making threes like that, that's not because the other team doesn't care. Although maybe I don't, you know, maybe they don't regard him that much. They probably weren't, but. To Marcello's credit, whatever his last name is, hit a ton of threes and scored 25-30 that night, and he was the difference. But I don't mean to be mean to that kid, but we're talking honestly about basketball talent. He wouldn't even play for that Indiana team. If that Indiana team had to play a 40-game schedule he'd be like their eighth man.
Yeah, Markell O'Sullivan, Fairdale, Kentucky, just across the river in Louisville. Greg, Romeo Langford, it was kind of a – I know you went to see the All-Stars. I know you tried
to – No, I didn't. I went to see Romeo.
I know you try to visit that series, though, at least once, I think, each year. But it became a piece about Romeo's farewell. And, again, you just have ways of describing things that some of us were never given that talent. And from the moment he checked out of the game, you kind of had a great reenactment, or you wrote about it, I guess, step by step. And, again, special night for not just Romeo and his family and, of course, Jim Shannon and the All-Stars to get that win, but a special night, I think, for the state in celebration of a player that we know is really, 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 really good. We don't know, I think, exactly where he ranks right now on that all-time Indiana high school basketball lore standings. That'll probably come a little bit down the road. But Saturday, in a way, to be back at Bankers Life where he won a state championship his sophomore year and where so many good things have happened in his career, kind of the ending of a lot of different positives, was just a special evening.
Yeah, and I went there, caring about Romeo and hoping I could write about Romeo, but also knowing I've said a whole lot about him. What else is there to say? What I certainly can't do is write 1,000 words on how good he is. I mean, I could do that, but I've done that probably 12 times. And I was talking to, I think he's a guest on your show. I think it was Rab Johns. It might have been, I think it was Rab Johns. We were talking about before the game, what are we going to write about? What are we going to do? We both were talking about Romeo and how we probably won't write about him. What else is there to say? And so that was kind of my thought. Is I'm watching the game, and I like writing about Romeo. He's fun, but at the same time, I don't know what there's to say. And then the story happened right before my eyes. I'm sitting there. They gave me a great seat, so I'm right there on press row. So I see when he checks out, and I see what Jim Shannon, Jim Shannon grabs him, because Romeo's just so stoic, and he's just going to go to the bench and sit down. He's like everybody else in his mind, which is crazy, but that's what he is. He's going to go to the bench and sit down. Well, Jim Shannon grabs him and hugs him and says something to him, and I find out later he says, it's been a heck of a ride, and I love you, and Romeo said, I love you back. And then I'm watching Jim, and I'm getting choked up thinking about it. But Jim, Romeo goes and sits down, and the game's happening. The sub happens, and they're playing, and Jim's just looking. You've got that 1,000-mile stare that everybody has, and he's got a 1,000-mile stare, and he's not seeing anything. And he's biting his lip. I mean, he's biting his lip hard, and his eyes are filling up with water, and that was special. And then after the game, Romeo wins player of the game, as he should have. And the All-Stars, Indiana All-Stars, it happened right there center court, and both teams are still kind of hanging around. They can't go to the locker rooms yet, so the Indiana All-Stars are underneath the basket, and they're kind of huddled up, and they're not even watching. And I know how good of a teammate Romeo is, so I'm not thinking at all, they don't like him. I'm just thinking, this is weird, but okay. They're huddled up, and as soon as Romeo, the ceremony ends, they break out of the, they've always been planning this, they break out of the huddle and charge him, and screaming, yeah. So it's like when you're watching a free throw shooter, and the crowd's entirely quiet, and all of a sudden they erupt trying to screw the guy up. Well, this is that, but in reverse. They were just erupted in happiness for him, and Romeo, he loved that, and Romeo doesn't show that he loves a lot of stuff. He just kind of smiles at it, but he loved that. And then also it just reminded me that when he came out of the game, the standing O he got, and he got an ovation every time he came out of the game, just checked out. So it was the story kind of happened right before my eyes. I realized, okay, that's what I'm going to write. I'm really not going to write about Romeo. I'm going to write about how everybody else is saying goodbye to him.
Interesting. Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. And I mentioned this in the first segment, and I'll mention it so you hear it as well. But Romeo comes home Saturday night, obviously a late night. Sunday, Monday, the chance to tie up loose ends in New Albany, get packed. We know he's going to Indiana today on this Tuesday for college at some point, but he's up early yesterday to visit Jim Shannon's camp and speak to the little campers at New Albany, who, by the way, all got a shirt that has Romeo and Sean East on it as All-Stars for attending Coach Shannon's camp, but to talk with him about the opportunity to play at New Albany and be in the Bulldogs system. And again, some people are probably like, why do we have to hear about this from Matt and Greg every Tuesday and Matt every day? But it just, you don't see players of this caliber behave the way that he does, both verbally, non-verbally, both on the court and off the court. It's hard to explain.
No, and let me make an analogy that goes in the other direction, and I don't want to scare off anybody, but politics is ugly in this day and age. I mean, it's been ugly for years, but it's real ugly now. And some people say, why do you keep writing about the stupid stuff that this guy is doing or the stupid stuff that that guy is doing. Because we know he's stupid. Why do we keep writing about him, whoever this guy or that guy is? That's not the point. The point is when something is happening right before your eyes, you've got to document it. You've got to have enough, endurance to say, this is a slice of history that's remarkable, and we're going to document it. I don't care who's getting sick of it. This is important. We're not going to let somebody be so awful that we're just going to ignore what they do because we've already written that. Well, the exact opposite is Romeo. Just because he's wonderful, and we all know he's wonderful, I'm not going to shortchange him. We shouldn't shortchange him and not talk about how unnaturally wonderful this kid is, when, especially when something special happens, like him going to the, I saw a picture on Twitter of him talking to those kids, and it looked like there was 40 kids, and I'm sure 8-year-olds don't pay very close attention. They looked about 8. All 40 heads were pointing right at him. I can only imagine how special that was for those 8-year-olds, however old they are. I mean, I can only imagine. So, yeah, if anybody out there is getting Romeo fatigue, bite me, because in about a year, forevermore, when we're talking about high school basketball, and there's going to be some topics that aren't so pretty sometimes, we're going to really be sorry that we're not talking about how great Romeo is, because he's once in a lifetime. I'm not talking about the player. I'm talking about a guy who's any good at all being that good off the court. That's once in a lifetime. I've been doing this for 30 years. You don't see that. You just don't see it. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that, yeah, we'll see another one in about 3 years. Someone great will come along and he'll be that good off the court. No, he won't. We'll never see this again.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Final thing on the All-Star games and final thing today, Makai Larry, Evansville Ballsy. He's a couple hours, hour and a half at least, out of our immediate area here on the Big X. But fans in this area that followed high school basketball because Ballsy playing New Albany, playing Jeff and others the last few seasons are very familiar with him. I thought he really lifted the All-Stars, tried to help them on Friday when they couldn't get anything going, and definitely helped them to a victory on Saturday. I know you were impressed with him.
Yeah, and I've seen him twice now. I saw him play at the Hoosier Classic, kind of the reunion game where Hickory plays Jasper, I guess, at the Knightstown Gym where they filmed the movie Hoosiers. And so I saw him there for the first time, and holy cow, is he little. But I was blown away by his athleticism. I mean, blown away. I mean, he's Spud Webb. I mean, he's ridiculous. And then, of course, the other night I saw him again. And just case in point, he was, I don't know, the eighth man, seventh man. He certainly didn't start for the All-Stars Indiana. If he played for Kentucky, he scored 50. I mean, I hate to overstate things. I would do this a lot. You've already heard me on the show for 10 minutes being emotional. So I do emotional stuff. But to me, and this might be stupid, okay? This might be stupid. I understand this might be stupid. But there are three kids I saw in that game that I think are going to play in the NBA someday. For sure. Well, not for sure, but three that I think. Romeo's going to play for sure. Aaron Henry's going to play for sure. And I think Makai Larry's going to play in the NBA.
Wow.
Because he's, I mean, there's not a lot of him, but there are a handful of 5'7 guys that are just better athletes than everybody else that can just fill it up. And they're not going to play 35 minutes in the game, but there's a role for them. He's that good. He's going to go to Miami of Ohio, and this might be crazy, but who wasn't? Somebody, I don't think it was Miami, Ohio, but a MAC team had the country's leading scorer a couple years ago, right?
I mean,
I don't put you on the spot like that. They did. Somebody from the MAC led the country in scoring, and I was remiss. I never got to saw him play. I think he played at Akron, maybe. But anyway, wherever he's from. Oh, Western Michigan. East, well, it was Michigan. That's what it was. If Makai Larry leads the country in scoring in about 3 years, remember where you heard that first.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, he's that good.
Yeah, I can't wait to follow his career at Miami of Ohio, no question about it. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. I said that was the last thing. Very, very briefly, obviously today Romeo reports to Indiana. The returners have all been on campus. We know what's going on. It's off-season workouts. It's getting in the gym. It's probably working some camps. Very important part to getting this freshman class together with the returners. I think that every offseason is important, but what an important offseason with a mix of key returners led by Jawan Morgan and key incoming freshmen led by Romeo Langford to go ahead and get those guys together, meshing together, interacting together on and off the floor.
Yeah, every season obviously is its own unique creation, and so last year's team is not this year's team, this year's team is not next year's team. We all understand that. At the same time, it's a subtle shift. Unless you graduate like Purdue, it's not going to be subtle for Purdue. They lost four great seniors. That won't be subtle. But most years, it's kind of subtle. You lose a guy, you lose two guys, you bring in a couple others, but your core kind of roughly stays the same. What Indiana's got this year is completely unique. They've got a one-and-done player who will be a top-five pick in the NBA draft next year. They got one shot with him. You know, one. and this is it. And next year's team, I don't care if everybody else is back except for Juwan, except for the seniors. Next year's team will be nothing like this year's team because Romeo won't be there. So they got one crack at this, and so yes, it is ultimately important. And a coach in Indiana was telling me that they have apparently changed the rules this year, Matt. Maybe you know, maybe I don't know, but it used to be you could work with a player. Shoot, I don't even know the hours. You got X number of hours a week in the off season to work with a player. They've changed those hours around in a way that benefits the skill level. I think it used to be 4 and 4, or 2 and 2. Two on the court, two strength and conditioning. Or maybe it's 4 on the court, 4 strength and conditioning. Whatever that grand total was, it was like split in half. Well, now it's, you can use it any way you want. So that's going to be great for Archie Miller.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. They would like to recommend you try their new breakfast and expanded lunch menus at their sister company, which is 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. I'm headed there for some hot tea after the show. Greg Doyle should head there for sugar-free dark chocolate coffee.
Yeah, I don't really care what they want to recommend. I'd like to recommend some sugar-free dark chocolate. Duh, have you been listening to me or what?
Greg, thank you. Thanks for putting up with my voice today. We'll talk again next week.
All right, nice talking to you. See you, Alan. Bye.
All right, bye. All right, again, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. A couple things before we get to the next segment. Summer League basketball continues tonight at New Albany. Also Hazelwood Middle School, also Scribner Middle School. Tons of varsity games tonight. I'm going to run through the varsity games for you. The schedule is on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills, if you want to follow it. Let me run down, starting at New Albany High School. The first varsity game is at 3:30 today. New Albany will take on Louisville Eastern at 4:30. Jeffersonville takes on Louisville Eastern at 5:30. Tell City takes on Austin at 6:30. Jeffersonville takes on Austin. 7:30 at New Albany. Tell City takes on Mail. And New Albany back at it at 8:30. They take on Mail. So a good mix of games at New Albany. Varsity games at Hazelwood. These games start at 4:30 today. Ballard takes on Floyd Central at 4:30. At 6:30 at Hazelwood, Ballard takes on Silver Creek. At 7:30, Floyd Central takes on North Oldham. At 8:30, Silver Creek takes on North Oldham. Varsity games at Scribner starting at 4:30. Rock Creek against Christian Academy of Louisville, 4:30. Also at 4:30, Silver Creek Blue varsity team takes on Christian Academy of Indiana. That's a varsity game. 5:30, Kentucky Country Day against South Central. 6:30, Silver Creek Blue against Rock Creek. 7:30, Portland Christian against Christian Academy of Indiana. 8:30 at Scribner tonight, Carroll County against South Central. Big games. New Albany be a great place to plan out all afternoon, all evening, and watch some high school basketball. Admission is just $2. We'll head to a commercial break. Thanks for dealing with my voice, trying my best to get through the show. Mike Pegram of Peaks.com is up next for a quick segment. Adam Zagoria of Zagsblog.com checks in to talk Trace Jackson Davis and the FIBA Americas Tournament going on right now up in Canada. We'll have him later, all today on this Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back this Tuesday edition of the program, and also thanks for dealing with my voice a little under the weather. Just glad to be back on the air with you with a lot to get to today. Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, is with us. Saw Mike over the weekend at the All-Star Games. Mike also busy tracking everything going on here in this time for recruiting, which if we think it's busy now, it'll really get bustling here in the month of July when coaches can be back out on the road. Mike, speaking of coaches being on the road, Archie Miller, Tom Ostrom, they're taking advantage of an opportunity to go see USA basketball play. That's within their ability to do so. And thankfully, it's just up the road, St. Catharines, Canada, Trace Jackson Davis playing for the under-18 USA team in the FIBA's America Tournament, and they get the chance to see him up close and personal, as did a lot of other Big Ten coaches.
Yeah, there were a lot of head coaches and assistants represented at the first two games there that the USA team has had. They've had a win over Dominican Republic and yesterday a blowout victory over Panama. And Trace was out there playing. Duncan had a pretty good game. Scored 13 points and it's a loaded team and a great chance to see him play with a lot of talent around him and see how he fits in.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, is joining us. We have Adam Zagoria coming up in just a bit to talk more about Trace Jackson Davis and some of his recent performances for the under-18 team up in Canada. I do want to talk a little Keon Brooks with you for a minute, though. He announced a top 10 over the weekend. Indiana, of course, in that top 10. And interesting that he does so just before the July evaluation period. I guess it's an opportunity to kind of, for him and other schools recruiting him, to kind of focus in on things for July.
Yeah, he got some new interest in April, the likes of North Carolina. And, he's focused now on 10 schools. No real surprises in that group. He goes as far west as UCLA, and he's got some East Coast programs with Georgetown and so forth. But he's going to take his time. This is he had a really good spring. He's going to take his time with this. I think maybe it could be a spring decision. So, it's going to stay, I think, at 10 for a little while here.
Mike, obviously the big news today, Romeo Langford. This is the day that he has said he would be headed to Indiana. All the incoming freshmen expected to be on campus today. A lot of the returners, I think all the returners have been on campus now for at least a week. And so give fans, everybody who's been asking over the weekend, people that I ran into at the All-Star game, hey, what are these players up to? What will Romeo be doing when he gets to IU on Tuesday? The obvious things are working on strength and conditioning, a weight program, a diet, those sort of things. Also playing, I would say, in the evenings with the other IU players, getting workouts in with the coaches in the amount of hours possible for you to do that within NCAA regulations. But what does a typical day look like for Romeo, or really for any of the players in the program in the month of June and maybe July as well?
Well, in June, there's camps going on, so they could help a little bit with the camps that go through the end of the month or so. The first day or two, it's going to be just a lot of moving, a lot of meeting with academic situation people, and, just getting used to assimilating with where they're going to be working out with the weights and the conditioning and so forth. But playing, I assume, in the evenings is often when I think they've usually played after their camp obligations or something like that. Sometimes I know in the past the kids at the camp would get to watch the players work out. But, I think it'll really get ramping up with, some of the kids actually taking classes and getting a little head start on school. It always helps ease the schedule when they actually have the regular season going on. But it's a pretty busy schedule, classes and workouts in the weight room, pick up ball, after you all get moved in. And I think that's, today it'll be just moving in and getting situated on who takes what closet and so forth and roommates. And I think Romeo's rooming with Robert Fennessy, so that'll be interesting.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Mike, thanks for being with us. Mike, and of course, Greg Doyle in the last segment, always with us Tuesdays here on the show. Mike, we'll talk with you next Tuesday.
All right, man. Take care.
Very excited about our final guest joining us here on this Tuesday program. Obviously, the summertime, it's off season from college hoops, but in Indiana, always tracking the recruiting. And Adam Zagoria, we talk about him a lot. We cite him as a source on this program a lot. Zagsblog.com, he joins us right now. And he has been following Trace Jackson Davis and the entire USA basketball under-18 team at the FIBA Americas Tournament taking place in Ontario right now. Adam, first off, thanks for taking a couple moments out to join us.
Thanks, Matt. It sounds like you got a murderer's row of guests on there.
Well, also a terrible voice today for your first time coming on. I'm sorry, I've been under the weather and struggling to get through the hour, but we knew we had you coming on and some others, and I wanted to be in for it. I want to ask you, Trace Jackson Davis is someone that IU fans have fallen in love with over the last year and a half or so as his game has developed. We've been treated to some matchups between Trace's Center Grove High School team and Romeo Langford's New Albany team in the tournament round the last couple of Marches. And it seems like each time fans, and even myself, and I'm sure you as well, get a chance to check in on Trace and see him, he's made some major developments with his body and with his game. And that was quite evident yesterday. I saw you tweet out a list of coaches. And, of course, they're not just there to see Trace Jackson Davis. There's tons of good players on the 12-man under-18 roster for USA and other good players from other countries participating as well. But a lot of Big Ten coaches there that are pretty high on Trace Jackson Davis, able to get a viewing in of him the last couple days.
Yeah, well, it's pretty funny. I mean, the U.S. just blew out, I'm here in St. Catharines, Ontario, and the U.S. just blew out Panama like 118-26 last night. And it was really comical. I think it was 45-0 before Panama scored. So the coaches, you know, were all kind of just laughing and joking and hanging out. And, you know, I wrote a story that they're really just here so the kids can see them. But, yeah, Archie Miller and Tom Ostrom were here for Indiana. Matt Painter and one of his assistants from Purdue. Michigan State has an assistant. Fran McCaffrey and Andrew Francis from Iowa are here. So it's a lot of Big Ten schools here for Trace. You know, it's interesting because on this team, it's really a guard-oriented team with Cole Anthony and Tyrese Maxey and Quentin Grimes. And Coach Bill Self really is playing like a four-guard lineup. So the bigger guys like Trace are really kind of just, you know, doing a lot of setting screens and scoring on rebounds and putbacks, and it's really a guard-oriented team.
We're talking with Adam Zagoria of ZagsBlog.com. Adam, one of the things we talk so much about, July basketball, when the college coaches can be on the road, I believe, and I'll let you, the expert, kind of clarify things, but I believe because it's a USA basketball team and it's a FIBA sanctioned event, college coaches, even though it's not a period when they could go to an AAU or a travel team event or a shoe circuit event, they are allowed to attend this kind of stuff because of that reason. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's really great for me, I'll say, as a reporter, you know, because, you know, there really aren't too many other reporters here. I think Jonathan Givony from ESPN is coming later this week for the quarter, semis, and finals, but you know, you get a lot of great access to the coaches. You can talk to them. And, you know, as a reporter in the media, that's what you want, is to be able to talk to the coaches and be around them. And it's great for them because they get to see the players. I mean, I will tell you that I had one person tell me that they changed this rule. You know, there's been a lot of concern over the years when Mike Krzyzewski from Duke, and then, you know, he coached the national team, and Sean Miller at times has coached the youth team, Shaka Smart. And then I think a couple of years ago when Shaka coached the U18s, you know, he ended up getting a bunch of those guys at Texas, Matt Coleman, Muhammad Bamba, Jared Allen. So I think they changed the rule because, you know, the other coaches were, you know, felt there was an unfair recruiting advantage for whoever was the head coach. So I was told by one NBA guy that they basically changed the rule after Shaka coached the U18 team and got a bunch of Texas kids. So, you know, it's interesting because Bill Self has one of the Kansas commits here on the team in Quentin Grimes, and then he's got a couple guys he's recruiting in Matthew Hurt and Jeremiah Earl Robinson, I guess. So, you know, he's started all three of those guys in both games. So kind of interesting to sort of guess, like, you know, what percent of this is a recruiting advantage for the head coach.
Interesting. Adam Zagoria, ZagsBlog.com, also at Adam Zagoria on Twitter. He's all over recruiting on a national perspective. Back to Trace Jackson Davis. I know you've seen him multiple times, getting a chance to look at him at this event. As someone that's developed into maybe the top 2019 target for Archie Miller and the Hoosiers, another in-state player as well, trying to follow Romeo Langford, keep the top guy or two in-state, when you see him play, how do you see him fitting into a Big Ten school as his body and his game continues to develop?
Yeah, I mean, I think they list him at 6'10", 230 or so. I'm not sure if he's quite that big, but I did, you know, I did speak with him the other day here, and, you know, I quoted him in my story. He said, you know, the Indiana fans are crazy, and, you know, I think he means that in a good way. Indiana's all over him. you know, obviously Tom and Archie are here for him. And, you know, he said, I think it, good players want to play with other good players. And by Indiana getting Romeo in the spring, you know, that just adds momentum to their recruiting. And both Trendon Watford and Trace have said that, you know, that's going to snowball and help Indiana's recruiting because, you know, good players want to play with other good players. Now, of course, you know, Romeo is going to be gone in a year. So, you know, these guys may never play with him. But, you know, just the idea that you're getting good players and you know, it should snowball and help them with these other guys.
Adam Zagoria is our guest, stagsblog.com. That was kind of my next question. You know, we talk with a lot of the locals, Indiana, Midwest people that track the recruiting and are on top of everything with IU basketball here on a daily basis on this program. You cover recruiting and college basketball on a national level. I'm curious what the buzz is, and I think you've somewhat already answered what I'm going to ask, but I'm curious what the buzz is when you talk with players or maybe you're at the FIBA Americas games in Canada and talking with coaches during games today about Indiana and Archie Miller, given the Lankford commitment and given some of the things that seem to be going, at least recruiting and in the offseason, Indiana's way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously not an Indiana beat writer. I'm not covering the team or its recruiting day in and day out, so I'm not as close to it probably as the other guys you talk to. But I would say, you know, just generally the perception is that, you know, I think everybody thinks Archie's a good coach, and obviously they had a, you know, a tough year this past season, but I think the perception is they're on an upward trend. You know, I guess all his crystal ball picks for Trace are for Indiana. I mean, I will say that the Iowa staff, you know, I think they plan to be here every day this week. You know, some coaches are only coming later in the week. Like, for example, I haven't seen Duke or Villanova or North Carolina here yet. Maybe they'll come later in the weekend for some of the other guys. But Iowa's going to be here all week. So they obviously think they, you know, have a chance, and they're trying to make a statement with Trace. And, you know, Matt Painter and his assistant are here all week, or they have been, and Michigan State's here. So, you know, it's not like these schools think it's a done deal and they have no chance at Trace. You know, he's obviously a home state kid, and he knows, you know, Indiana wants him. But, you know, he told me he's going to go through the process. He mentioned some other schools like Memphis and Georgia. And then he said he's going to kind of cut his list later in the summer. So, you know, I think he'll go through the process, and Indiana will have to make its case just like all these other schools will.
Talking with Adam Zagoria of ZagsBlog.com, he's been following the USA and other teams as well at the FIBA's America Under 18 tournament taking place in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. I want to close with this. We remember when Romeo got the chance, I think it was an Under 19 team last summer, to go to Egypt and play for Coach Calipari there. This, the FIBA Americas, that is a grouping of, is it North American teams, and then if they win the gold or qualify, do they go later in the year or maybe next summer to another world stage, or set up for us?
Yeah.
What happens this week and where they're trying ultimately to get?
Yeah, these are all the teams in the Americas, basically from Canada down to South America, like, you know, Argentina's here and Ecuador and Chile, I think. So it's all the teams in the Americas, and I believe the top four teams from the FIBA Americas U18 qualify for the U19 World Championship next summer. And you know, the kind of big storyline here is that we could get a Canada USA gold medal game. I think everyone expects that over the weekend. Obviously, last year in the U19s, RJ Barrett led Canada to the gold medal. He had, I think, 38 in the semis against a John Calipari coached U.S. team, and Canada went on to win its first gold medal. RJ is not here this week. He's already, you know, he's already won a gold medal with the U19, so he didn't need to go back to the U18s. But they have a lot of talented guys like Andrew Nemhard and AJ Lawson and guys like this who are being highly recruited. So basically, I think everyone's kind of looking forward to a Canada USA game.
Adam Zagoria, ZagsBlog.com, at Adam Zagoria. He will be there in at the FIBA's America tournament all week long, it sounds like. And Adam, great to have you. Thanks for taking time out to join us, and keep up the great work, man. You're all over the basketball scene on a national level. I enjoy reading your work, and it's great to have you on with us.
Thanks a lot, Matt. Anytime. Feel right. Better.
Great. Thank you. Thank you again, Adam Zagoria, with us. Just a reminder before we sign off today, first off, thanks for dealing with me. Again, I was out yesterday. Voice has not been great, but with Greg and Mike and Adam coming on today, I didn't want to not be on. It's a great time to catch up on a lot of recruiting things. And, of course, Romeo headed off to Indiana today. That's a big storyline given how closely we followed his recruitment and, of course, his decision to become a Hoosier. But don't forget, if you've got an itch for some basketball here locally, I'd love to be up in St. Catharines watching the FIBA America games, but unlike Adam and a few others, unable to obviously swing that. But there are some great games today in the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League. I get so many questions about, man, I heard Ballard and New Albany played last night, or Jeffersonville and Mail played, and I didn't know how to see it or where, if it was open to the public even. Well, I try to give you the schedule every day. We also post it on social media at Hoosier Hills. But just a reminder, varsity games begin at New Albany High School today at 3:30. A ton of great games. New Albany will take on Louisville Eastern at 3:30. Jeffersonville will take on Louisville Eastern at 4:30. Jeffersonville will take on Austin at 6:30. New Albany will take on Mail at 8:30. That's just a highlight of some games that you might find most interesting. Ballard will take on Floyd Central, 4:30. That's a game that will be played at Hazelwood. Ballard will also take on Silver Creek at 6:30 at Hazelwood tonight. Floyd takes on North Oldham at 7:30. That's just a highlight of a handful of varsity games. I think there's something like 18 varsity games that will be played tonight at New Albany, Hazelwood, and Scribner. Of course, that doesn't count JV, freshman, other games taking place as well. Admission is $2. A stamp at New Albany, Hazelwood, or Scribner gets you in all three locations. So if you've got an itch for some basketball, you can scratch it tonight with the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League taking place at New Albany, Hazelwood, and Scribner. That's going to wrap things up for today. Don't forget, all of our shows are available on podcast at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. You can also search us in Apple Podcast. It's a free download subscription. You can catch up with our great guest talking IU basketball, IU athletics, Southern Indiana sports, and more each day. Thanks for dealing with me. I'll be back tomorrow. Voice is still sketchy, but don't want to miss any more after not being here Monday. And thanks for staying with me for the hour for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. This is Matt Dennison with the Hoosier Report.